Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Time to join a professor of art history at the Open University in the United Kingdom. She's Carol Richardson, who today presents a theory regarding the figures of St. Peter and St. Joseph in art. Church history impacts incredibly on the way artists work, which is something we never think of. In 1414, there was the Council of Constance, and something happened there that would impact on Renaissance art. It's a story that most people don't know about.
The Council of Constance was convened, as you say, in 1414 to bring about the end of the schism of the church. At that time, there was not one, but three popes. And representatives of the three colleges of cardinals, bishops, university professors, and representatives of secular leaders came together to try and sort out the mess. One of the most tangled parts of the mess had come out of the exile in Avignon, the time when the papacy had fled Rome because the Roman barons were misbehaving themselves and it was too violent a city, too dangerous a city. The popes moved to Avignon and were there for about 60 years in the 14th century. By removing the papacy from Rome, though, the popes in Avignon had to emphasise two parts, absolutely interrelated parts, but two parts of their existence. One as Vicar of Christ, and Christ gave St. Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and second as Bishop of Rome. Because they were in Avignon and not in Rome, they had to emphasise the Vicar of Christ aspect. And in fact, they turned parts of the papal palace in Avignon into representatives of their Roman bishopric. There was a chapel of St. John, a chapel of St. Peter and so on to emulate St. Peter's Basilica and St. John Lateran. It is very complex. By the time you get to the Council of Constance, that problem of the separation of Vicar of Christ from Bishop of Rome was being exploited by secular rulers who wanted to reduce the power of the papacy, and also by heretics. John Huss, who was burnt at the stake in 1450, stressed salvation through the Holy Church. He took out the Roman element of the church, trying to get rid of the papacy. It was a tangled web that they wove.
A tangled web that had an influence on the artwork of some very famous artists in Renaissance Italy.
Yes, in 2007, there was an exhibition at the National Gallery in London on the art of Renaissance Siena. I saw my Pinturicchio at that exhibition, which is normally in the gallery in Siena. It's a tondo, a round painting, and it represents the Holy Family of Mary, Joseph, the infant St. John the Baptist, and Christ. But I looked twice at the painting and thought, that's not just a Holy Family, that's an allegory of the church. The painting has Mary, she's the most dominant figure in the painting, she's also Ecclesia, the personification of the church. Joseph is situated absolutely centrally in the painting, and he holds a barrel of wine and two loaves. I think he represents the priesthood.
But it's very unusual to have St. Joseph in the centre of a painting, isn't it?
Very unusual. Well, I thought it was unusual until I started looking at other paintings. Then the St. John the Baptist figure is represented holding a staff and a jug for baptism, the staff representing bishops, I believe. And the Christ figure wears a white dalmatic and a book. Dalmatic, of course, is the vestment of deacons, and the book, I believe, represents the deacons' care for the ministry of the word. Out of that, I thought, aha, there's something going on here. Why would you have an allegory of the church? And why do you have Joseph situated in the middle of the painting? And then I realised that Joseph is given exactly the same facial types, the short grey hair and the pointed beard of St. Peter. He also wears exactly the same colours dress that St. Peter is represented in the 15th century. That's a dark blue or dark green tunic with a yellow cloak over the top. And I thought, why would Joseph be given the attributes of St. Peter? And that took me back to the Council of Constance. One of the most important figures at the Council of Constance was a Frenchman, Jean Gerson. He's an incredibly important figure in the period. He was a superstar when he arrived at the council. He became Chancellor of the University of Paris in the late 14th century when he was still only in his 30s. Crowds would follow him from one church to another to hear his sermons, because what he tried to do and what he believed in very strongly was take very complicated, complex academic ideas, theological ideas, and communicate them to the laity. He arrived at the Council of Constance with connections with the Royal House of France. He had preached in front of two of the three popes of the schism, and he came with an agenda to reform the church, but ultimately to lead to the unity of the church, to get the church back on track with a single pope. He's quite often accused of being a leading conciliarist, which meant that he was anti-papal, but I think that's wrong. If you look closely at Gerson's writing, he believed very strongly in the importance of the papacy for the Roman Catholic Church. The pope is the father figure. The church does not exist without the papacy because Christ gave the keys to St. Peter. Therefore, you can't just remove the pope from the equation. It's not possible. Right in the middle of the crisis that the Council of Constance was trying to cope with, Jean Gerson preached a sermon. The sermon was preached on the Feast of the Nativity of the Virgin, that's the 8th of September, and Gerson used his sermon to develop a project that he'd already started a few years before when he was still in Paris. His project was to establish a feast of St. Joseph. St. Joseph was to him an important part of the Holy Family. He accepted his commission to look after the Holy Family, to accept Mary as his wife, and he looked after the infant Christ. Also, through Jewish law, the genealogy of Christ goes through the male line. And in the Old Testament, of course, that Christ had to be born of the house of David. And Joseph is the figure who comes from the house of David, not Mary. So Joseph is a very important part of the argument.
Yeah, I mean, how did Pinturicchio, who I suppose was merely an artist, if one could say that, pick up on all this influence, this theological, historical background?
Gerson's sermons were circulated manuscript copy very quickly, very early in the 15th century. And then as soon as print technology was available in the middle of the 15th century, his sermons, his works were circulated very widely. There were 6 print editions of his works in the 15th century alone. In 1488, Gerson's works were translated into German. And it's in the German edition that we first see his works coming to Italy. It's quite possible that they arrived before then, but that's the smoking gun. A Franciscan preacher, Bernardo de Bussy, used Gerson's sermons, and he preached about St. Joseph, and Bernardo de Bussy's sermons were in turn printed and published in 1493. With Gerson, we have an insight into what the laity was hearing and possibly reading in the 15th century, because Gerson's sermons were sent to parish priests so that they could read out his sermons. It was particularly for priests who weren't terribly good at writing their own sermons. And that takes me back to the sermon that Gerson preached at the Council of Constance on St. Joseph. He ended that sermon with an intercession which picked up on the incredibly difficult events of the Council of Constance, trying to get from 3 popes to 1. Gerson prayed in his intercession that the council would find one pope who would follow the example of St. Joseph. The example of St. Joseph was to be dignified, silent, and a guardian of the church. And that's, I think, where the connection between St. Joseph and St. Peter, the Pope, comes from. Joseph, as guardian of the Holy Family, is Peter, who's guardian of the church.
Is this your theory, or has it been thought out before?
There have been some connections picked up by art historians between Joseph and Peter. There's an altarpiece of St. Peter, which was commissioned for the Church of St. Peter in Hamburg at the end of the 14th century, which shows Joseph standing above the Virgin in the flight into Egypt, and he has a key hanging from his belt. That's usually picked up on as representing Joseph being a key to the Old Testament. He opens the door into the New Testament. Also, Sheila Schwartz, an art historian, pointed to the fact that Joseph is given the same facial features as the statue of St. Peter, which is included in the same altarpiece in Hamburg, but he doesn't wear the same garments. It's when you look at 15th century Italian painting and have a close look, because everybody from Masaccio to Fra Angelico to Pinturicchio is doing this, they give Joseph the same facial features as Peter, and he wears exactly the same dress. I hope that people will start looking and perhaps pick up on this idea. I would love some feedback, yes.
Well, if you do happen to have any feedback, please let us know. Meanwhile, my thanks there go to Carol Richardson, Professor of Art History at the Open University in the United Kingdom, for sharing with us her theory. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.